Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
I can't help myself.
Drunk, stop laughing.
It's so funny.
It's not funny. I hate you, Drunk. I hate you for making this worse.
Okay. My insides are actually crying right now.
Wheelbarrow full of dicks, where the conversation will make your mother sick. One couch and alcohol with three fat guys. We say mean and crazy things, and one of us is high. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Wheelbarrow full of dicks, where the penis jokes come fast and thick. We've been getting away with this for far too long. Join us Monday nights on
strangelabel.com.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my heterosexual life mate, my partner in crime, Mr. Mike Napier. Hello, Napier.
Sup?
I'm also joined by the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Bienvenido, ami ami.
Phone number to contact the show, 427. Oh, no, that's wrong. 636-487 Travis. Oh, man.
636-487-HAND. Travis, to anybody from the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program live and on the air.
Travis, I'm snake bitten. I don't think we can do this anymore. I'm snake bitten. I just don't think we can do good shows anymore. I think it's broken. The whole thing is broken. And Travis, I'm especially distressed this evening because I watched that Keaton video. Did you watch that video of poor Keaton?
No. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Everybody said how horrible it was and like a tearjerker.
God, poor Keaton.
Big fat crying face. I couldn't do it.
He does have like a big fat face, doesn't he?
He kind of does, yeah.
He is kind of a weird-looking kid.
Yeah, like which I can see why he's getting bullied. Not saying it's right, but I understand kids can be cruel and...
Look at that kid and you say, oh yeah, that kid's definitely getting bullied, right?
Right. And I would think that if I saw him in real life, I'd be like, oh, he's probably the victim of some light to medium bullying.
And Travis, that wonder, you know, that kid, he was very charismatic.
He really was. He had the adults, he had them snowed. Right? Are you talking about the bully or the bullied?
I didn't see the film.
Young Augie?
I didn't see the film. I'm just talking that kid. What's that kid's name?
Jacob Tremblay.
God damn, that kid is good.
He's something else.
I want to adopt that kid. I want him to be my kid.
Yeah.
Because he just
even
seems...
with that weird face that he's got, I'd say, so you can live in my house.
Goddamn charismatic. I want to hang out with him. I want to be his friend. The kid's got me wrapped around his finger, that little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
He's got it in the bag. I hope he doesn't go the way of many child actors. I hope he kind of pulls maybe a Dakota Fanning or something, you know, or Abigail Breslin.
Napier, did you see poor Keaton, Napier? Did you see him?
No, I saw snippets on other YouTube channels.
Well, man, let me tell you, the Keaton story, it went viral. And everybody jumped in. Dana White said, Keaton, you got to come to some UFC events so we can hang out. Captain America jumped in and he said, oh, God damn it, Keaton.
I can't wait for you to come see the new Avengers movie with me. And everybody's taking their turn. Praising old Keaton.
And Mark Ruffalo jumped on the old bandwagon. The old Hulk himself said, hey, Keaton, I want you to be my guest, too, which kind of seemed pale after Chris Evans did it. It seemed like Mark Ruffalo just, you know, like, retweet Chris Evans's or something. Don't say me too.
Travis, we got a virtue signal, too. Don't we got to tell old Keaton that he needs to come on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program? That's what we need
tell
to do.
Tell your story, buddy. We want to get you out to a big audience. You can tell your story. You know, we'll tell you it's okay. It gets better.
Gets better, Keaton. Eventually you'll get a job. And hopefully, like, you can kind of get some peace and quiet. Just go do your thing. And wait to die.
Yeah, pretty much.
You'll find a weird-looking lady that you can procreate with and make weird-looking kids. Travis, this is Keaton. This is Keaton.
Force conversations with other kids' parents.
Travis, you're interrupting Keaton.
You can tell how awkward you are as well as them. Like,
oh, my God.
To talk to each other.
Travis, you have no respect for Keaton. You're talking all over him. Keaton.
Just out of curiosity.
Oh,
why do they
poor
go,
guy.
What's the point of it? Why do you find joy in taking...
Oh, he's got a weird voice, too, Travis.
Finding a way to be mean to him.
He's got that lisp in there. Ah, poor guy.
This kid's going to have a rough goddamn life.
He was dealt the raw hand from the beginning.
But, you know, everybody jumps on the Keaton thing. They all virtue signal. Turns out Keaton's family is a bunch of racists.
Pretty racist.
Because that's what happens when you shine a light. You shine a light and you see all the little crevices. You see all the...
That's the problem
flags.
With people retweeting and commenting and doing these things based off these little internet snippets is that nobody like looks into it until it's already blown up into something that it was never meant to be. And then come to find out, no, it's not that at all. It was this racist mom. Her son was crying and she wanted to take advantage of the situation by taking a picture or a video of her son and posting a GoFundMe.
Yeah, right. That's what you do when your kid's crying, right? You get out your video camera.
Get out your camera immediately. Let's document this and post it
on Facebook so everybody can see it. My kid's getting picked on at school. That's really important.
Yeah. Apparently the GoFundMe page is a third party, like, people don't have anything to do with it. That was
sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a close family friend.
No, I didn't start the GoFundMe and post the video directly on it. It was somebody I don't know, an internet stranger.
Got up to $58,000 the Kickstarter or GoFundMe or whatever it was. It got up to $58,000 people raised for Keaton. What do you buy Keaton that makes him not get bullied at school? Does he get Collective Soul to come play his birthday party and then all the kids think he's cool because, you know, they played Where the River Flows in his backyard? Say, Keaton's cool. He got Collective Soul.
You do a soul asylum with the Runaway Train.
That'd probably be cheaper.
Yeah, I would think so. They could keep some of that money. They could buy some firearms.
Yeah, maybe he could, like, go to college and be, like, a really smart, weird-looking kid. So everybody is jumping off the Keaton train already. I wonder if Keaton's still going to be able to do all those things now that his mom's racist.
You can't really back out of that, right? Dana White can't be like, just kidding, you know.
Yeah, your mom's racist, Keaton. So we're done with you. We're done with you. You should get bullied.
Poor kid, and he's a victim of circumstance too, so you can't blame the kid on his parents' behavior and you know, product of environment and all that, but you know, there's unconfirmed reports that he was dropping the N-word in class and that's half the reason that he was getting bullied.
So they're beating him up because he dropped N-bombs.
Yeah, so he's probably telling these African-American black students that, you know, calling him the N-word, and then they're beating the shit out of him, and he doesn't understand why, because the N-word is completely normal use in his home, I'm sure.
Oh, boy. See, the pendulum swings. That's why you got to wait a day or two before you start inviting little kids to the Avengers premiere.
Oh, yeah, and
now you're on the hook, Chris Evans.
48-hour news cycle, or where things, the rise and fall. Look at the red shirt guy. What was the red shirt guy from the election?
Ken Bone. Yeah, Ken Bone had like a really creepy Reddit history where he was going on and on about the Jennifer Lawrence nudes. And they're like, right. Guys, so why are we all idolizing down,
but it seems like
Ken
we've
Bone.
Gone from the 48-hour news cycle. You get about 8 hours now. It's the rise and fall in 8 hours.
And all the sexual assaults. Travis, I don't think that we have a sexual assault update this week. But I am excited to report that we do have a regular assault.
Oh, regular. A good old-fashioned regular assault?
Right. The guy from Queens of the Stone Age. He was up on stage last night or two nights ago, and there was a gal, a professional photographer, taking pictures of him because he was at, you know, up on the stage being, you know, cool guy. And he comes around and he like karate kicks her in the face, breaks her camera and smashes her camera into her face. And she had to go to the ER.
And of course, his response to that is, that was an accident. I accidentally kicked her directly in the camera and face.
Oh, no. Anchor's got the picture in the chat of the whole family. First of all, this lady has way too many kids. There's too many kids there.
Keaton, that's why she needed the GoFundMe.
Yeah, Keaton's got an American flag. It looks like his older brother has a Confederate flag, and the mom has a pistol. Invite the whole family to the Avengers premiere. Let's get them in there with the Hulk. Sit right next to him.
Put him right next to old Nick Fury.
You don't need the spotlight, kids. You just need to lay low. Do some homeschooling. Oh, boy. Travis, you know how I was talking a couple weeks ago about how I suspected you of faking your microphone?
Yeah.
I couldn't really figure out why you'd do that. But
yeah, right, of course.
It was festering in my head. It was festering in my head.
Trying to get to the root of it.
I'm a crazy guy, right? And did some, I found out some things about myself this week. My dad called me the other day. I sent out Christmas cards, and my parents got my Christmas card. And when I went to the post office, they had... a lack of good Christmas stamps. And so I noticed that one of the cool things of stamps they had was Disney villains. And I purchased Disney villain stamps to go on my Christmas cards. And my dad called me as soon as they got the card to tell me that my mom was really hurt. Because she got a Christmas card with the villain from Snow White, the Wicked Witch. And she thought that was symbolic and that we were telling
like a dig on her.
Yeah. We were telling her that she is a Wicked Witch woman. And we were.
Did you?
We were communicating to her through stamps we sent
via themed USPS holiday postage.
And I heard this. I heard this, and it just made me think immediately, oh, that's why.
It's shown a light right on your behavior. that reaction, like, pointed out flaws in yourself.
It's hereditary is what it is. It got me to thinking that I am crazy because I come from a line of crazy.
That usually makes sense.
And so, really,
going back to the product of your environment.
Yeah, I can just have a pass forever now. I mean, I've realized it, but I don't have to change. Now I just have a reason for it. I can just say, oh, that's just, you know, that's just me because that's how I have been raised and, you know, it was my genes. You know,
I don't think that's supposed to be the end choice of being introspective about yourself. When you come to those realizations, I think it is like those you are supposed to attack those things and change them, not be like, oh, I got to pass. My mother's like that.
No, I think I like my idea better. It doesn't involve me having to anything. Yeah,
it's definitely easier.
Yeah, I sent you a Christmas card, Travis. I sent Drunk a Christmas card. I did not send Napier a Christmas card.
Fair enough.
For two reasons. One, I'm mad at Napier. And two,
I don't care.
I know he won't appreciate it. I doubt he'd even open it. So I saved the stamp. I didn't send him one.
Which one did you save?
I hope you don't have a good Christmas, Napier. I hope your Christmas is bad.
Fair enough.
You know, when we were sitting here on Skype, me and Travis, we were sitting here for a good 10 minutes or so, and Napier signed on, but then he just waited. He wanted to see if I was going to call him.
I was waiting to make sure you weren't, like, on with the furniture cases doing your thing.
He just wanted to wait and see if I was going to call him or if he had to call me. It was a standoff. Maybe that's just how the Napiers do things.
Passive-aggressive?
Is passive-aggressive a Napier trait that you were born with?
Sure. Yeah, let's go there.
Do you want to invite Keaton to come do the show, Napier?
Why?
Because Keaton's been bullied, and he needs some life experiences that show him that the world isn't all shit.
Being bullied is a life experience.
Somebody sent me a thing earlier today about a police officer that he retired from the force, and he started writing kids' books. And he wrote this kids' book about Christmas. And he's giving away 30,000 copies of it to underprivileged children to make them happy. And I responded and I said, oh, God, that's a great story. You know, we should interview the guy who wrote the book about Christmas because it'd be uplifting. And that's what we need. God damn it. You know, we're just a snake pit of angry vipers that say mean shit all the time. We should have a feel-good story. And, like, as soon as I sent it, I was like, I don't want to talk to that guy. What do I give a shit about some children's book?
Mike, is the book unsellable because he's giving it away?
I think he's got 30,000 copies of it laying around that didn't sell, and so he's just getting rid of them. And,
yeah, he's making it a feel-good story because nobody would, like, pay to read that.
I think that the kids they'll like the book, and then maybe they'll share it with their friends, and by the time they share it with their friends, maybe the friend will buy it. You know, it's publicity.
30,000 copies is a lot of copies. So if he self-published this, he had real grand plans that were never going to come to fruition.
It just didn't happen?
No. 30,000 is a lot of copies.
So you think that he's altruistic? You think that we're putting negative shit on him unnecessarily, Travis? You think that this guy, he has everybody's best interest at heart?
I don't know. I think we'd have to give it a little bit more time. I think we'd have to dig in and kind of see who he was when he was on the force and see if it's going to be another Keaton situation or if this is going to be a legitimate thing that, you know, he's actually trying to make a difference and reach out, or if he's trying to cover up a sordid past and make up for it by giving underprivileged children, you know, his 10-page self-published children's book.
Travis, do you think that Chris Evans gives a shit about Keaton, or do you think that Chris Evans saw that it was a trending topic and that he could get a little good PR out of it, and that's why he did it? Do you think Chris Evans has good intentions, or do you think Chris Evans is just like the rest of them?
I'd like to say he does have good intentions because I do see how he interacts. And I mean, he's very Hollywood liberal.
He has saved the world like three or four times. Like, and he saved all those people on that train.
I think, you know, he's gone past that. So it's hard to say. I think his intentions are probably good, but, you know, good intentions from somebody who lives in probably a $100 million house who has everything done for him and driven around and things. It's probably a little bit different than you and I, you know, and our good intentions.
Guys, speaking of good intentions, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Joe Exotic. He's running
the official candidate,
the governor of Oklahoma. So if you're a listener in Oklahoma, you'd be sure to register to vote and get out there and vote Joe Exotic. And if you happen to live anywhere around there, go see his 220 tigers. What is all that goddamn sound? What is that?
It's not me.
Oh,
I don't know. Christ, you're cutting Travis. In and out on me, so I can't really tell what's happening.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I don't think we can do a show anymore. I think the show is broke. We don't know how to do it anymore. It all just doesn't make sense. guys, last week's show is unairable. So if you were waiting for it in the podcast,
I don't know what you're talking about.
And it didn't come out. That's why, because it was such a train wreck. It went beyond like a funny train wreck to just like a sad apology session. That really the whole show was us just apologizing to each other. There's nothing to share. There's no show there. It's just garbage.
I eternal sunshined it out of my brain, so I don't know what you're talking about.
And Napier, he told me that he mutes his microphone through the whole show, and that's why he doesn't talk, because when we ask him something, by the time he unmutes his microphone to say anything, we've already moved on, because we have to, because we can't just sit here and wait for Napier to unmute his microphone. So
you can listen to me vape.
So as far as the show, I don't know what to tell you. It might be over soon, because I'm snake bitten. I don't think we can do a show anymore. My co-host has his microphone muted. So, if you have a solution to that problem, let me know. I'd love to hear what you have in mind. Because I'm out of ideas. I'm out.
Excellent.
Of do you have an idea, Napier? Do you have any ideas like what we should do? Should we just not do a show anymore? Should we just be done?
I think you're too self-critical.
I should just let it go. It's just having fun with buddies, right? It doesn't need to be good. Why would we want to do a good show, Napier? Why would we want to do a good show? That doesn't even make sense. We should do bad shows because it's fun. Right?
I think any show is good.
You do?
Well, I mean, to an extent.
So I'm excited about Joe Exotic. I am. I like Joe Exotic. He's been on the show before. It was fun then. It'll be fun again, hopefully, if we can connect to him and not screw the pooch. So let's take a guy, Keaton, if you're listening to this, buddy, it gets better.
He's not listening. It doesn't get better.
Keaton, one day you'll be in your 30s, and you'll look back at all of this and laugh. Because, like, you know, now you have, like, responsibilities. You got to make a mortgage. You just got to buck up and go. And you forget pieces of yourself. Eventually, like, you know, you'll be old and you'll have more important things to worry about. Like taking omega vitamins so that you can have enough energy to get through your day.
Mm-hmm. Sending in your property taxes. Don't worry, soon you'll be a shell of a human, just
right. You'll coasting be too through life. Goddamn busy to actually like think about how bad you're getting fucked all the time. We'll be back.
Every day, someone protesting injustice or begging for change is misunderstood by passersby due to the thin lettering or messy handwriting used to deliver their message. Hi, I'm Mike Napier, CEO and spokesperson for PULF, People for the Use of Legible Fonts. With a small donation, you can buy thicker Sharpies or calligraphy classes for both the in-need and privileged dipshits alike. We don't know which is which, because we can't read their fucking signs. Go to WFODix.com today to see how you can help. PULF, because the message is useless if the words aren't bold.
And now we pause to let the other stations catch up.
This is Strange Label, the best in internet radio.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Our last hope, the final Hail Mary with seconds left on the clock. Coco finished its run with an 81% Metacritic and $110 million. That gives WFOD 89 points for the Disney Pixar film and 157 overall. Good enough to beat the Lotus cast, who only put up 40 total, but not enough to overtake Not Safe for Water Coolers, who scored 220, mostly on Thor Ragnarok, and very little on Detroit, Blade Runner 2, or Mother. That means our big winner is Random Ramblings with Rob, who went the horror route in the later rounds and found gold in Stephen King's It. He will live on for eternity in the HFL Hall of Champions. Stay tuned for the next round coming soon to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio program, probably at the end of January.
My phone's ringing, my email's blasting off. Keep it up. Keep it up. There's no such thing as bad advertisement out there, okay? Especially when you ain't got no life like me. All I do is clean cages, take care of animals. I don't make a dime, okay? And I live in a shack in the back room, okay? They keep me in the closet sometimes. But I busted that shit wide open. I am so far out of the closet, you couldn't get me back in there with 6 tarantulas and 3 spider monkeys, okay? Jacked up on Mountain Dew. So anyway, hey! Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, and sit back and enjoy this episode.
Once again, WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Our guest tonight is entertainment director of the largest private zoo for tigers in the world and vying to be the next governor of the great state of Oklahoma. Mr. Joe Exotic is on the program. Joe, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
Not too bad. Too bad. Having a great day.
It sounds like it. You got married today.
I did, yeah.
Congratulations.
Actually sitting here at the river on honeymoon.
You're on your honeymoon right now?
I am, sir.
Guys, calling us live from his honeymoon.
That feels pretty good to be part of your honeymoon. I'm very excited about that.
Well, I appreciate it.
So, Joe, you're a guy. You kind of well-known. You get around. Around with the people. Did you hear about Keaton, Joe? The kid that got bullied. It's been all over the internet.
Oh yes, 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 yes. Watched that on the news this morning.
Poor kid, the Keaton. He seems like a nice guy. And do you have anything to say to Keaton?
You know, it's just a sad thing of what society does to each other. And you just have to be you, Keaton, and don't let anybody else affect who you are or what you ever want to be in this world. The only people that bully you are the people that are insecure with their own selves or don't like themselves. So love yourself and be who you are.
Is that something that you've dealt with, Joe, is getting bullied and stuff? I mean, you're pretty outspoken. You know, you have, you know.
You know, I came out in the 80s being a gay man, and it was just as hard. It was harder then. And bullied all the way through school. And, you know, that is what has made me such a compassionate person today, as old as I am. And that's what makes me want to help people even more in society. I deal with people emailing me all day long, every day, that is in different situations, that their parents have either kicked them out for their lifestyle or, you know, and that's what drives a lot of people to drugs and alcohol is society's pressure of being bullied and being outcast. So that's one thing that I would like to change during this election.
You know, when the stores have their big sales, they put that spotlight up in the air and wave it back and forth so that people know that something big's going on there. And I kind of feel like you're that spotlight, and people see it and they say, oh, well, shit, Joe's out there doing it. You know, Travis, I saw something that Joe does that I thought was really cool. Joe has like a big Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner that he gives out free. If you don't have anywhere to go, you can go hang out with Joe on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
You know, I've been doing that for 20 years now. And Christmas Day at the zoo at 1 o'clock, I cook 5 turkeys and the whole spread for, you know, people that don't have anywhere to go or people that don't get along with their families during the holidays. And then this year, we've added one more in Del City at the American Legion Homes that is co-sponsored with Safari Dental. And we'll be cooking dinner in Bell City for people that don't have anywhere to go or don't get along with their families. So that way they've got us as a family to spend their holidays with and feel loved.
And it's not like for people that are less fortunate necessarily, just for somebody who doesn't have somewhere to go, somebody who's kind of an outcast. I thought that was kind of a cool thing, and I don't know.
That's very cool.
It is cool. It is cool. And I think, you know, with me being in the election and a gubernatorial candidate and being openly gay, I think it's going to be a little more of an icebreaker for people to be able to accept who they are. And you know, I just lost my husband a few months back of 4 years. And it's amazing how our community came together and put aside their bigotry and you know, homophobia and everything else. And it made a hell of an impact on our community here in Oklahoma.
It's nice to see people come together. You know, we're bombarded by such negativity every time we turn on the TV or flip on social media. And, you know, it's really nice when you get to be a part of something that shows you there's good in humanity if we all come together and kind of, like you said, put aside differences and just kind of work towards a common goal. It's always nice to see, and it's always good to be a part of that type of thing.
That's absolutely correct. You know, it doesn't matter who we are or who we love or what color we are. We all bleed the same. We're all out here trying to work to make a living, and it's time we start looking out for each other.
Well, how's the campaign going out there, Joe? Are you gaining traction? Are you doing good?
Well, you know, every time I put a poll online, you know, with the Tulsa World or someone else, I'm actually third in the polls out of 11 now.
And that's behind, so, I guess, probably
I would say we're doing pretty well.
And that's based on the other libertarians, or that's based on everybody?
That is based on all 11 of us, Republicans, Democrats, and Libertarians.
So I guess you're probably behind a Republican and a Democrat?
Right now, I feel like we've pretty much got the primaries in the Libertarian race pretty much locked up. So I have all the faith in the world that you're going to see me on the general ballot.
And what are the big things you're running? What needs fixing? What are the big core issues that you're standing on?
Well, you know, one of my big things is education and teacher pay. We've got to get our kids back to being proud to be in school and learning the basics of life. so they can go out and become entrepreneurs and make it in the workforce. Our teachers are all leaving the state. We just issued over 500 emergency licenses to people who don't even know how to teach. So that is my priority. And legalizing marijuana to get the state out of debt and help the funding of education and a few other things is another priority. And we have to reform our unemployment program in this state. We have to reform our SNAP program in this state. And I don't know if you how long you've been following me, but you know, before I announced that I was running for governor in this race, I went and applied for food stamps myself just to see how broke the system was, and they gave me $249 a month, and I'm the last person that needs food stamps.
You just wanted to test and see if you could.
If we can reform some of these programs that nobody ever checks on, I think we can, and we run this state like a business, I think we could probably take care of our budget problem and get some people back in the workforce without having to tax people to death every time we turn around. Because right now, we're just a savings and loan for the politicians' mistakes. Every time they make a mistake on a budget or they spend money wrong, they want to raise the taxes, and me and you got to pay the bill.
And are there deadlines coming up to register and to cast a ballot and all that? Is there stuff that people need to know about if they live in the state of Oklahoma?
Well, you know, they pulled a slick one on me and closed the primaries, so that way independents couldn't vote, which means that they locked up 316,000 people to have the right to vote for me. So we've got to get people registered as libertarians just for the primaries, at least by February. So that way they have the right to vote for me to get me on the general ballot. And then anybody can vote for me after we're past the primaries. But, you know, it's really no different. And that's kind of where I was kind of upset with the Libertarian Party by closing the primaries is, you know, we fight for the rights of all people all the time. And they just took the rights of 316,000 people away.
That's such a dirty trick, and I see that happening not just in your state, but it happens everywhere, where if you're not a registered party member, you cannot vote in the primary. And I am not a registered Republican, Democrat, or Libertarian. You know, the last handful of years, I've voted Libertarian in a couple of races, and Republican in a couple of races. Like, I'm not a party guy, so to like say, unless I'm registered, I can't vote in the primaries is pretty ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous because it just goes to show that you really have no rights, as a citizen of Oklahoma or a citizen of the United States to vote for who the hell you want to, because they make you join a party, whether you agree with them or not, if you like the person running for that party. And that's another thing that needs to be changed, not just in each state, but it needs to be changed nationwide to give us our rights back to vote for who we want to.
Well, and not only that, it creates this divisiveness where if you make me join a particular group, then I feel like I'm fighting against any group that's not the group that I'm part of. And that's where you create this weird two-party angst and the people constantly attacking each other for not believing every single thing that, you know, the other party, is agreeing with. And I think that's half of the problem in our country right now is just this us or them mentality, which is really kind of driving a wedge and pushing us even further apart.
Sometimes you feel like they want to drive us apart.
It feels like that, absolutely. It certainly does.
Do you feel like if we're telling Keaton that it gets better, we're lying?
We're trying to make the kid feel like there's something to live for. And there is. There's plenty of beauty in the world. You know, even though, like, the humdrum of day-to-day might not be wonderful, there are great moments. And, you know, if you just give up, you're not going to experience any of those great moments.
You know, there's a lot of things to live for. And I'm not a real religious person, but you just have to have the trust in God and karma because, you know, people are horrible. When I announced that I was going to get married last week, people accused me of killing my last husband in order to get married again. There's just hateful people out there, Keaton, and it's not you that looks different or acts different. It's them people don't feel secure, within themselves. So love yourself and there's a brighter sunrise on the other side of this mountain. I can promise you that.
Well, Joe, I don't want to keep you. I know you're on your honeymoon and stuff, but I do have a question for you that I was thinking about earlier. Why tigers? Why not fish? What was it about tigers?
You know, everybody asked me that. And when I started this, you know, I started this park in memory of my brother was killed by a drunk driver back in 97. And I, believe it or not, I started it with a deer and a bear. And I rescued my first couple tigers in 1999 in Ardmore, Oklahoma. And for some reason, tigers just kept coming in. And God gave me the gift to work with tigers. I don't have any fear of working with them. And I get in with over 200 of them a day. And tigers just kind of become my life.
Yeah, I guess if I went to a zoo and there was just a deer and a bear there, that'd be kind of a shitty park.
Kind of be boring.
Yeah, it would be great. Well, Joe, man, hey, can we check in with you periodically? Because I feel like it's been too long. We need to do this more because you're our guy.
Anytime. I'm here for you guys and keep your head up, buddy.
Hey.
And if you need to, reach out to me. We'll take care of whoever's messing with you.
And congratulations on your honeymoon, Joe, and good luck in the race you got going on there.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Take care.
Thanks, Joe.
You too. All right.
Travis.
Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic, the Tiger King.
Tiger King, Joe Exotic, libertarian candidate for governor in the great state of Oklahoma. Love talking to him always. Last time we talked to him, he was running for president, right? And he even said that his intention was in the next election
cycle
that he was going to try to start from the ground floor. He's going to try to go governor, and here he is in the thick of it. I highly encourage anybody in Oklahoma to vote Joe Exotic.
He had words for Keaton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Travis, that's going to be big for us. We're going to post that Joe Exotic has
a message for Keaton.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, virtue signal like Captain America, Travis, but that could be big for us.
It definitely could, unless by the time you post this episode, things change even more.
So. Oh, God damn it. I hope there isn't any more skeletons in that little bastard's closet.
You're going to ruin our show, Keaton.
I got to get this up quick.
We're trying to capitalize on your trendiness.
Fucks it up. Napier, what did you think of that?
I think it was great.
You like that Joe Exotic, right? Don't you think we need to move to Oklahoma?
You can.
I'll tell you what, if goddamn Joe Exotic becomes a governor of Oklahoma, that's where I'm going. Because Joe Exotic's going to take care of us. We're all going to go to his house for Thanksgiving, and we're going to sit next to a tiger.
I want to sit next to... Remember the last time he was on, there was tigers in the background? You could hear the tigers, like... I love Joe Exotic.
In the chat, Anchor says, this show could still take a nosedive, and Mike could decide not to post it. That's very true, Anchor.
Well, we only got like 15, 20 minutes, so unless things go hardcore off the rails, I think we're safe. Otherwise, it could just be a truncated episode.
Guys, I'll tell you, I think that we're taking the rest of December off. That is not necessarily a... you may think that it's because of our struggles, but it's not really. There's a couple of days in December like Christmas is a Monday, and next week I'm going out of town, and the week after that is the New Year's. I'm gonna say we're not gonna do a show, and then like if one pops up, then maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised. And so, yeah, guys, this might be the last show for the year. I'm just telling you now so that you know.
But, hey, that just means you have something to look forward to the second week of January.
Right. We have a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of things coming up, a lot of what have yous.
Some stuff is simmering.
So there might be a show before the end of the year. Might not be. Liquid Lazo says it's a Christmas miracle.
Reaches out after this episode drops, then, you know.
I hope what he means is that there might be an episode, and that's what the Christmas miracle is, and not that us taking 3 weeks off is the Christmas miracle.
It's the Christmas miracle. Thank God. I don't have to subject myself to this nonsense for 3 weeks. He's like a battered wife. He just keeps coming back for this thing that he dislikes.
Travis, what's happened with you? You said that there was things going on. You had like a rough week.
Yeah, it was an interesting week. After I eternally sunshined that Monday out of my head. Wednesday, having some vehicle problems that didn't go well. It was just supposed to be fixed on Wednesday. That didn't go right. So it was another day. I was vehicle-less, and then got home from that to have, you know, one of my kids, as I was going to bed for work that night, wake up and, you know, violently vomiting. So I didn't make it to work the next day. I was homesick with him. And then the other kid was sick. And then just led into some other chaotic stuff. So it's been a trying week. It's been a trying week, but I still have my head above water. So I guess that's all that matters, right?
Right.
Excellent.
Napier, how was your week?
Yeah, it was a week. It was fine. I mean,
yeah,
went to work, went home, made barbecue. It was a good week.
Yeah?
You got a Christmas tree yesterday. Did you get a Christmas tree, Napier?
No.
You like Christmas?
Are you going to do it? Are you going to do a Christmas tree?
No, because when you put up a Christmas tree, you have to take down the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's right.
Two things of work. No, thank you.
So what do you do for Christmas? Do you put up lights?
No. The wife might.
Do you put stockings on the mantle?
Yeah, the wife actually got some stockings this year, so we're going to do stockings, yeah.
So what do you do when it's time to you know, for Santa to come? Where does he put the presents?
Well, me and the wife are grown, so
Santa put the presents in the closet. I'll go get them.
Yeah, now we have to like worry about stuff like that, so I don't know. There may or may not be a tree this year. There probably is going to be one next year.
Yeah? You're going
to
do the whole thing?
But it's so much
work.
You have to, like, put them up and, like, set them together and then string them with crap. Then you have to unstring the crap, and then you have to take all the shit down and put it back in its little box. Then you wait for another year.
Do you worry about when your kid is old enough to realize that her parents are weird and they don't do anything the way you're supposed to do them?
That probably won't take very long.
When she figures you out to be a fraud of an adult?
I hope not a fraud. At least vaguely competent.
You're a boy in man's clothes?
No, I actually put vaguely competent on my resume. And
that's what you send
it
out?
Worked out so far.
You put that as like your mission statement?
Yeah, my header.
My goal is
Mike Napier, vaguely competent.
Do you feel like that though? Do you feel like that in life? Because I've noticed that like in myself where I put on this, I always dread doing anything that requires me to be any sort of adult, like calling insurance companies and writing tax checks and things. What's even worse is when I have to go into public and pretend to be an adult. Like if even with that whole car debacle that I had the other day, taking my vehicle into the shop, and then as they're closing, they say, we don't know what's going on. Your truck still tore apart. And the guy that was working on it went home, even though I was told 3 hours. And, you know, that's five plus the two that it took the next day, where I have to kind of put on man pants and be like, listen, buddy, what's going on here?
You always have
don't
that,
like that.
That in the back of your mind, you're like, oh no, they're going to think I'm a dick.
Right. And it's not even that. It's just like they putting on that facade. Like most of the time, I just want to get my kids and come home and hide here at my home. Like I just want to hide in my house and randomly go out if I have to. But when I do go out, even everyday interactions don't feel normal. And I know that's probably some of my sheltering myself. I don't like have any friends in day-to-day real world that I just give a call or go over to their house and things. So that might be part of my problem, but I just feel like I'm constantly putting on this fake man face for the world.
And everyone's eventually going to realize that you're a fraud.
Yeah, this is not a real person. It's like a shell of a man pretending to be a father and a husband and a guy that, you know, goes to work every day.
Joe Exotic was talking about how we need to get back to teaching our kids, and all the teachers are leaving and stuff. And I feel like when I was in school, they didn't really prepare me for all the things. And we just need to have like a class where they teach you how to do the things that you're going to need to know, like changing a tire or doing your taxes. I mean, I gotta rely on TurboTax, and then TurboTax charges me a bump, and I don't know how to change a tire. I got to call fucking AAA or something because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. They just need to teach me how to be a person.
One year in high school, when I was in high school, they tried to do one of those kind of classes. I think it was an elective, and it lasted like the year because nobody took it, because when you're a teenager, you don't give a shit. You're like, I don't need to know that. And then you join the real world and you're like, oh damn, I probably should have took that 45 minute class that, you know, taught me how to change the smoke alarm out or whatever.
I need to know when the chicken's done.
right.
Just tell me what to do for Christ's sake.
You guys realize you can just go on YouTube and there's videos that you can watch and listen to, and they'll teach all that shit. You want to learn how to cook a fucking chicken, they'll show you how to cook a chicken.
We didn't need any of the high school math. I haven't needed any of that. I need to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Those are important. After that, don't need any of it. I can learn geometry from playing billiards.
Which is like, perfect, because I don't know how to like do an equation anymore. I saw an equation recently
and it said solve for
x, and I had no idea how the hell to do it. Which, I mean, I didn't need to; it was just there. But I had no idea how to do it, because I don't use it in my life, and most people don't.
Matt Leroy in the chat is telling me that chicken needs to be
a calculator 165 all day every day.
165 for the chicken, guys.
165.
You gotta have one of those internal thermometers. I don't have one of those. I need to get me one.
You need to get a digital one that you can like. It comes on a string. There's like this probe that goes into your meat, and the other side goes into this digital readout. The probe and the meat goes into the oven. Your readout stays outside of the oven, and then you set whatever temperature you want it to be. And then when it goes off, like, oh, I guess the food's done.
See, but the
you
meat
don't have to time it or nothing.
Napier, the cooking and stuff, that's something that you were passionate enough to teach yourself. Like, if it's something that you don't care about, you just don't do it.
But I mean, you can just go online and learn.
Everyone needs to know how to make themselves a meal.
Do you know how to make a meal, Mike?
I'm saying that they need to just have a class just called Basic Things You Probably Should Know Class.
How to write a check when they only accept cash and checks and you have no cash.
What does all the stuff on a mortgage mean? What is closing costs? I don't know. I signed all the shit because they told me to. I didn't know what any of it meant. I was just pretending. I was pretending to be an adult. I'm a fraud. I don't know what any of that means. I'm a boy in man clothes. I'm Doogie Howser, M.D., Travis, signing my life away at 4.75%.
Like, you could have just asked your real estate guy. He would have told you what it was.
No, you know who my real estate guy was, Napier? It's the guy that I grew up with across the street.
How'd he do?
I saw him on Facebook, and I said, hey, you want to be my real estate agent? We grew up next to each other. And he said, oh, yeah, sure.
And is he competent?
Well, I mean, I didn't know what any of it meant. Just signed it, Napier. Just signed it.
Did you get a good, like, comparable cost to the house?
How would I know, Napier? How would I know? How would
they ever
know?
Tell you.
I'm a boy in man clothes.
They don't have to tell you shit. They just want to make a sale.
They just want to make a sale, Napier. They don't care about
this house.
Captain America doesn't care about Keaton.
No, and the real estate agent doesn't give a shit if you know what you're signing. They just want that commission, baby.
Right.
No, mine walked me through everything. You what know, the fuck are you guys on about?
You know what he was the most concerned about, Napier, when it was all said and done?
Yeah.
Changed all my locks. And he was asking what I was going to do with all those doorknobs. He said, hey, I could use those. You just going to throw all those doorknobs away? You could give me those doorknobs.
Well, mine walked me through all, like, the comps in the area, like how much this house was going for compared to, like, all the other ones in the neighborhood and what their square footage was. Mike's, and
yeah, but Mike's real estate agent has a side doorknob business.
Tell you what I did.
Every time he makes a sale, he's like, what are you going to do with your doorknobs?
Tell you what I did. I threw those goddamn doorknobs in the garbage out of spite.
Giving you my doorknobs, asshole.
I'm giving you my some of that fucking commission doorknobs.
Probably wanted to sell it for scrap so he could get methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got a good deal on my house.
Fucking good for you.
Yeah, because it's haunted.
Why don't you decorate it? Take some pride in it, fucker.
Nah, I should probably just clean the garage. I mean, that way I don't have to take anything down. It's already outside in the garbage.
Look, your kid's going to have it tough enough. You need to put up a tree tomorrow. You go buy a $20 goddamn tree at Walmart, Napier.
We have a tree.
You have a tree. You're just too lazy to put it up.
Yeah.
Napier, put the fucking tree up. Put the tree up tomorrow. Go downstairs, get out the tree. Put it up. Put ornaments on it. Hang some goddamn tinsel from it, and then you take a picture of your baby sitting next to the tree. And then you share it on Facebook and you say baby's first Christmas, because that's what adult people do. They take pictures of their kids. They post it on Facebook next to things that are milestones, because eventually they're going to look back at it and they're going to say, God, do you remember when 18-year-old Kane was just a baby and we were too fucking lazy to go downstairs and get the tree out of the basement?
Don't worry, Mike. I got this covered. I'm going over to my sister's house for Christmas, and she has a tree up, and I can just sneak a picture and just say, oh, baby's first Christmas, and I don't have to do fuck all for work.
That's actually a pretty good plan.
The kid's not going to remember it. Like, oh, yeah, we were at our house. Don't you remember the tree? Oh, you don't? No. Oh, you're too little. I guess you didn't remember the awesome tree we had. We lost it, like, I don't know when. It's downstairs somewhere.
Guys, be sure to reach out to Joe Exotic. Follow Joe Exotic on Twitter.
At least give him a follow. He's an entertaining guy. He's a fun dude. I love Joe.
At @Joe_Exotic. You tweet him, you tell him you heard him here. I think that we need to have Joe on often, because I want to check in with him periodically, just because I like me some Joe Exotic.
Yeah, at the very least, we got to catch up with him. We got to stay tuned with going into the gubernatorial race, at least.
So be sure to remind us, because we tend to forget things. Hey, guys, it's been a few months, and you haven't had Joe Exotic on. And we just need to just bother him often. And maybe hear some hyenas in the background again. You know,
kids.
When he's not having romantic evenings out by rivers.
He's on his honeymoon and called into our show.
I really hope that didn't happen. Like, the dude's not really on his honeymoon.
Oh, he is.
He got married today.
He is on his honeymoon.
He got married today, Napier.
Well, just because he got married today doesn't mean it's his honeymoon. I mean, he's having a romantic evening.
Hey, when you're running for governor, you don't have time for a full-blown honeymoon. So you truncate that shit, say thanks for marrying me, and then you get back on that campaign trail, so...
Alexa, stop!
Yeah, people don't like voting for a bachelor. It's true.
Oh, you know what? I muted Skype, thinking that would mute. Oh yeah, everybody heard that. Oh, I thought I was being slick, guys.
What'd you say?
Alexa, we have an alarm. And Alexa was going off.
Did you just tell her what the code was to your house?
I yelled, "Alexa, stop." But all I did was mute Skype. I didn't mute the...
Oh, man. I was like, there's like this James Gunn phone number situation when Michael Rooker called James Gunn's phone and he didn't pick up and the answering machine said his James Gunn's phone number on stage into Michael Rooker's microphone in front of like an auditorium full of people.
In the chat,
I hope that was a bit.
In the chat, Mshell said, "I hope he was getting ass fucked while on the phone with you guys." Jesus Christ, vulgar!
The hell! This isn't that kind of show.
Vulgar.
Not anymore.
God.
It makes you feel better. Yeah, I didn't hear you scream at Alexa. So
these are the people that listen to the show, Travis. These vulgar people.
I can't.
We're trying to get out a message of positivity, Mshell. You can't talk about getting ass fucked. Jesus.
Yeah. Term is butt fucked.
Yeah. Ass is a bad word. Napier.
Yes, Mike.
Do you have what would you call a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about? Something.
Before we do that, are you happier with today's show than last week's show?
We don't want to really rate the shows on air again, do we?
He's Mike, talking Mike about himself.
He was angry with me. I want to make sure.
Yeah, he doesn't care angry about the actual quality of the show, Travis. He only cares what my opinion is of his performance.
I want the performance of the show in its whole.
I like this pre-recorded
person.
You gotta say his pre-recorded bit was good.
Napier, I wrote that, Travis. And Napier, I just want you to participate in the conversation and be present. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking for. And if that's present too much, then I don't want to do the show with you anymore. If you can like show up and like add something to the show, then good. Good. That's all I'm asking you to do. We've been doing the show for eight years.
Sometimes it's not going to happen. Sometimes I feel like Napier.
I feel personally Napier added a lot to the show for me personally today.
I think Napier did fine today. I wouldn't say it was his best performance. I'm not going to give you an A, Napier, but you did show up and you engaged in conversation with us. Was it all I'm asking? It's the bare minimum I need. I need you to show up and add something to the show. That's it. I don't want you to sit there for 25 minutes with your microphone muted. I don't want that. I don't want it at all. It's garbage, well, and I don't
bring in a whole bunch of people.
What do you mean, don't bring in a lot of people? I need people because you don't fucking say anything.
I don't say anything when you bring a lot of people. Then you get angry at me for
oh my God, anything. This is like the weird chicken and the egg situations. Like, why'd Napier get quiet? Was it because of all the people?
And what do you mean a lot of people? We have the same people every week. Every now and then we have a guest.
Last week was a big one. Wait, no, I don't remember last week.
Last week we had Dan Fernicase.
Yeah, that's too many people.
Dan Fernicase
took my place.
Dan Fernicase was good. Fucking Dan said something.
I know. I listened.
With your microphone on mute.
Yeah, I didn't want you to hear me vaping.
I was going to say, to be honest, I mute quite a bit throughout the show because I don't want anybody bitching about ice clinking or hearing my vape pen go off.
Travis, I never notice you not being there, except that one week you got drunk and fell asleep. I did notice that.
Yeah, that's probably hard to miss.
But, I mean, if I sit here for 25 minutes and carry on a conversation and my second mic hasn't said a word and I have to, like, call on him like we're in grade school, and then I have to wait for him to find the mute button to unmute his microphone so he can say yes or sup or one of his stupid ass one word like, answers.
Napier's like Roxanne in this situation. You're like Cyrano de Bergerac calling from down below. Napier.
I want to put on a good program. We have ears listening to us, and I don't want to waste their fucking time. And the last month or so, Napier, you've been wasting everybody's fucking time. So that's why I said something to you. And I don't apologize because I was right.
Well, if that's how you feel.
Well, and I know you don't agree with me, and I don't give a fuck.
Well, I don't give a fuck how you feel.
Right.
How's that?
It's fine. It's fine. So, Travis, do you have a pick of the week? I hung up on Nate. I hung up on Nate.
No.
I hung up on Nate.
You hung up on Nate. You dickhead.
You have a pick of the week, Travis?
I've been busy. I think I watched, like, a movie all week. I think I spent all my weekend listening to that Movie Crypt 48-hour marathon. So besides that, Movie Crypt, they donated a lot of money to Save a Yorkie Foundation, raised a lot with their 48-hour marathon. My pick of the week is the Movie Crypt's 48-hour marathon, which you cannot participate in, but look for it next year.
Napier.
Arianescope.com.
Napier, pick of the week.
Did you hang up on me, you shit?
I did. Fuck you. What's your pick of the week?
The hockey drama called Pride. I think you can only watch it on YouTube, as it's probably not licensed in this country.
Is that a gay thing?
It's a Japanese drama. It is the most ridiculous fucking thing revolving around hockey that has no rules involving hockey, but people dress up like hockey players and they go on the ice, and it's fucking ridiculous how stupid it is, but you gotta watch it. It's called Pride.
Guys, I don't have a pick of the week. Thank you for another successful year of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. We might not do a show for a couple weeks. We might. Don't expect us to be live for the rest of the year, because we won't be. But thank you, guys. We do appreciate all of you. In the chat, Anchor said successful? Question mark. I guess that is debatable. I mean, we're still here. So that's a success in my book.
That's right. The sand will get out of Mike's vagina eventually.
Have a happy holidays to everybody who celebrates holidays this month, and we'll see you here for a gigantic 2018.
Merry Christmas to you too, liquid lozenge and rapid poundings and shell. Merry Christmas.
We love all of you.
To all of you. I don't have sand in my vagina. I just don't want to do a garbage show. There's lots of garbage shows. I don't want to be one of them. I expect excellence. That's what I want. And anything just, less than that, I don't like it. Don't want it. Don't want it.
Just remember, you get what you get. Well, that's my mama.
Soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
For listening, join us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. Listen to our back catalog on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, WFODix.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFODix. Give us a call at 636-487-HAND or email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls on ya. If you like what you heard, tell a friend. Be back next week, motherfucker.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODix.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck. I have changed.
Man, my worlds collided. Unfortunately, I didn't get to listen to an episode live last Monday, so I caught the podcast version on Friday. And that was when I got to hear your beautiful music submission, the Hot Chocolate song. He wants some whipped cream on it. The shit got stuck in my head, man. I heard it all weekend. And then yesterday, I'm kind of a crabby bitch in the morning. I don't like to do things on Sunday. My wife found out that one of her friends was taking Christmas pictures and all this shit, so she got spunky and wanted to go take Christmas pictures. So the whole way I'm bitching, complaining, I don't want to do this, this is fucking dumb. Mike, when you have a scar that goes halfway around your face, you really don't like pictures. But you don't want to be a complete asshole, so I went along for the ride there, everything cooled off, but I think I bugged her a little too much, so she was in a funk. And then as we're leaving, you post the link to the goddamn Hot Chocolate song. And I have a problem with not listening to my wife when she talks. Now, it's not all the time, but sometimes. So we're leaving the parking lot. I see your post. I click it and accidentally turn the fucking music on, and it plays. I start laughing. She says, what the fuck was that? I go, that's just this thing, no big deal. And I said, she wants some whipped cream on it. And she just stared at me. And then we started having conversation. I guess she thought I wasn't paying attention, but this time I really was. And after 5 minutes or so of telling me about how she didn't get to see this and how we need to buy this for her niece and all this other shit, she finished talking, and instead of saying, okay, or yeah, babe, I got you, I just looked at her and I said, she wants some whipped cream on it. And her eyes turned blood red. And she said, you know what, motherfucker? That's why I don't like talking to your ass. Because you say stupid shit all the time when I'm talking, and it makes me think you're not even paying attention. Now, I was paying attention. But it just goes to show how, I guess, out of context, the Hot Chocolate song really isn't great. So it led to a 10-minute, just pissed, awkward car ride home. The border was staring out the windows. And then later, I had to get righteous. And I said, listen, just because I say stupid shit doesn't mean I'm not paying attention. I heard everything you said. You said this, and we got to buy presents for this, and you're sad because you didn't get to see your brother. and all this other shit. And I looked her dead in her face, and I said, she wants some whipped cream on it. And she fucking threw the shoe at me, and she went into the office. We're good now, but that was the end of my Sunday. I just thought you'd like to know your awesome musical abilities to pick hit songs has infected my house, Mike. So thank you. Bye-bye.